start off with the Rambam Perek Hilchos Tshuva Halacha Hei, the very well-known Rambam that deals with the problem of Bechira and Das Hashem. Ram says, Shema Tema, maybe you will say, V'alei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yedei HaKol Ma Sheyiyeh V'Kedem Sheyiyeh Yedeh Shezei Yeh Tzadik Oy Rasha Oy La Yeda Im Yedeh Shehu Yeh Tzadik Yef Sheshlo Yeh Tzadik V'im Tema Sheyeda Sheyiyeh Tzadik V'ef Sheshyeh Rasha Hare Lo Yoda Hadover Al Buryoy. Okay, first we ask a few questions in regard to the Lashon HaRambam. Question 1. Why does the Rambam say V'im Tema Sheyeda Sheyiyeh Tzadik V'ef Sheshyeh Rasha Hare Lo Yoda Hadover Al Buryoy? Originally, he starts off and says there's two possibilities. Either Yeda, Sheyeh Tzadik Rasha, or Lo Yeda, or else he doesn't know. Then he says, Im Yeda, if he knows, Yef Sheshli Yetzadik, right? Then he says, Im Tema Sheyeda Sheyeh Tzadik V'ef Sheshyeh Rasha, the Rambam should have said, and then he says, Hare Lo Yoda Hadover Al Buryoy. First of all, he should have said, Hare Lo Yoda Hadover. What's Al Buryoy? And secondly, he shouldn't have said V'im Tema Sheyeda Sheyiyeh Tzadik V'ef Sheshyeh Rasha. He should have said the other way. First way is Yeda Sheyiyeh Tzadik Yef Sheshyeh Tzadik, and second way is V'im Tema Shechoshiv Sheyiyeh Tzadik V'hoya Rasha Hare Lo Yoda Hadover. That's all. That's all the Rambam should have said. He says no. V'im Tema Sheyeda Sheyiyeh Tzadik, he knows V'ef Sheshyeh, it's still possible Sheyiyeh Rasha. He should have brought the case to the extreme. Im Tema Sheyeda Sheyiyeh Tzadik Shechoshev Sheyiyeh Tzadik V'hoya Rasha V'im Tzashaya Rasha Hare Lo Yoda Hadover. No, Yeda Sheyiyeh Tzadik V'ef Sheyiyeh Rasha, then Hare Lo Yoda Hadover Al Buryoy. The Lashon is difficult on two counts. Firstly, he should have taken the case to the extreme. Im Tema Shechoshev Sheyiyeh Tzadik V'hoya Rasha. Secondly, he should have said Hare Lo Yoda Hadover, period. What's Hare Lo Yoda Hadover Al Buryoy? He didn't know it well. Okay, two questions. Now we have it. Now let's take a look at his answer. He says, Da she tshuvas she lazu aruch ha-meir etzmida rechav man ha-yom, etc., etc. Then he says, Elohu yisal l'shmai v'dayta echod, and he goes into Das HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he says, Hu shen avi omar, omar, ki loy machshavayseh, machshavayseichem, v'loy d'achaychem d'rochoy. Then he gets back, that's his little Adama. Then he gets back to the our case in point. And he says, Akivan Shekain, and since this is so, Kainu, Ein Banu Kayach Leida, Heyach Yeda HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kol HaBurim HaMasim. We don't know how HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows all the Burim and all the Maisim. Avol Neida B'loi Sofek Shemaisa Odom Miyad Odom. Vein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moishcha V'loi Geizu Lav Lasis Kach. He doesn't influence him, nor does he decree that he should do so and so, such and such. So again, we asked another question. We said, what is the problem here? The problem in the Ram seems to be, since HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what the person is going to be beforehand, it's impossible, the knowledge is there, so it's impossible that the person should do other than that knowledge. The person must conform to that knowledge, and he must be a tzaddik or a rasha, so there's no bechira. So what does the Ram answer? The Ram answers that since we don't understand Das Hashem, so we don't understand how HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows anything. But the question isn't how he knows anything. The question is that he knows something. In other words, since he knows, so we're saying ipso facto that his knowledge removes Bechira. What's the difference? How he knows. How he knows plays no role. The question is, does he know? And we say, in fact, that he does know. So therefore, there's no Bechira. So why does the Rambam say? The Rambam say that we don't know, since we don't understand how he knows, so therein lies the answer. The Rambam is telling us, he's not going to give us a full answer, but he's giving us a basic klal. He can't go into it in detail, but he's giving us a basic idea in which direction the answer lies. The answer doesn't seem to lie in this direction, because this direction is simply how HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the knowledge, but the question is based on the fact that he has the knowledge. So we have three questions on the Rambam. The first two on the Lashon of his Kasha, and the third question is on his answer. So we start off as follows. We said, let us attempt to understand the problem without the Rambam. Just to understand the problem in our own minds. What is the problem? problem is, since HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows, there can't be any more Bechira, because his knowledge must be fulfilled, since his knowledge is true, and therefore the person must be a Tzadik Bar Rasha. Right, I think we have to begin with a basic definition of free will. What is free will? So everyone interprets free will means you have the ability to do A or B. You have a choice. Yes, that's true, but that isn't the definition of free will. That's a description, that's a result. Description of free will is that you have the choice to do A or B. But there's an underlying definition in free will. There's a logical definition of free will. What is this definition? See, the difficulty in this area lies in the fact that it's something which people try to solve with their imagination. And unless you put it into logical categories, you can't get anywhere. So we will attempt now to put the question in logical terms. And then I believe we will see that the question vanishes. What is the definition of free will? Free will means as follows. Free will means simply that the cause of an event is not external, is not determined by any external circumstance or any external existence, but rather the cause of an action of an individual is determined solely by his will. We'll call it his will, by him. That's the definition of free will. Since there is no external cause, so therefore he has the ability to choose A or B. The only cause involved is his will, is himself. So any action or any event which takes place due to his action is solely caused by he himself. That's the definition of free will. So now we have free will defined within the category of causality. Cause means he is the cause of an action, of his action. Since that is the case, let us look at the general category of cause and see whether or not we can shed any light on the problem. And we continue as follows. We say, let's take another cause. Let's say, for instance, a fire is the cause of the destruction of a building. Now, let us say an individual has knowledge that this fire will take place. Does his knowledge change the cause? Does his knowledge render the fire not to be not the cause of the destruction of the building? Does his knowledge effectuate, change the cause in any way? Do we say, for instance, that if the person should be hit over the head before the fire starts, that then the cause would be the fire? However, if you revive him, then the cause is going to be his knowledge. Of course, this is absurd. His knowledge has nothing to do with the cause. But knowledge, on the contrary, is not a causal factor, but it's an external factor, completely, totally external from the event. Therefore, in terms of logic, we must conclude that knowledge plays no role whatsoever in determining a cause, but rather knowledge is of a cause. Knowledge is external to the cause. Now, let us therefore return to our question of free will. In free will, we said the definition of free will is that the cause is the individual. Therefore, if that is the case, so if the individual is the cause of his action, and some other existence has knowledge that he is going to do this action, has knowledge of this cause, does this in any way change the fact that the individual remains the cause? You must say we must answer in the negative, just like we answered in regard to the fire, in regard to any other event which may occur. It's quite obvious that once we speak in terms of causality, knowledge of another individual in regard to that event does not change the cause of the event. If I should be a fortune teller and should know somehow that this individual is going to do action A, this does not change the individual in terms of his still being the cause of that action. And since this is so, knowledge plays no role insofar as Bechira is concerned. So that the question seems to be solved quite readily as soon as we adapt logical categories to our problem. As soon as we define our problem, we see that the question is no question at all. So that we may conclude on this basis that God's knowledge in that respect is no different. In other words, even though he has the knowledge that an individual will do such and such an action, the cause of that action remains the individual, and therefore the individual is responsible for that action, whether God knows or not. Plays no role whatsoever. The question, however, returns. If that be the case, if we can answer this problem so readily, what then did the Rambam mean by saying this is a tremendous question? The answer to this question is G'dayla Mani Eretz, or Rechava Mani Yom. I mean, the question seems to be resolved quite simply. So I say that this question is a question as to what the Rambam meant. The problem, however, that we have dealt with up till now has been resolved. The Rambam, therefore, means something else. And he must be understood differently than most people at first sight interpret the Rambam to mean. Let us for a moment go to another area. The Rambam says, the Rambam in the Mor Nevuchim speaks about the knowledge of God. And he gives a mashal from everyday life. For instance, let's take a clock. A clock is, let's say for instance, I take a look at a clock, and I take off the back of the clock, and I observe the different movements of all the different springs and all the different levers that are contained in this watch. And as I observe it, if I'm intelligent enough, I will eventually come to understand different parts of the watch, how they operate and how they function, until ultimately I will be able to understand the entire watch, so that I gain knowledge by observing the watch as it moves. That is one type of knowledge. That is known as the knowledge, let us call it rather, the knowledge of the observer. However, there's another kind of knowledge. The person who made the watch, the first individual who thought of the watch, actually didn't gain the knowledge from observing a watch because there was no watch to observe. He was the first man to create the watch. So that his knowledge stemmed from himself, from his mind. And the actions of the watch merely duplicate the knowledge that was existent in his mind. But he does not gain from the actual study of the watch. This is another kind of knowledge. We'll call that the knowledge of the Creator. So that there are two kinds of knowledge. There's the knowledge of the observer and the knowledge of the Creator. Now the Rambam says in the Mor Nevuchim that we could never predicate of God knowledge of the observer, for a simple reason. Because since God is perfect, he doesn't change. And since he doesn't change, he is not ignorant at one time and wise at another time. Therefore, we cannot say that he has the knowledge of the observer. Because the observer, when he starts to observe, is ignorant. He doesn't understand. Then, as he understands more and more, he becomes more intelligent. He gains knowledge. This situation is impossible in relationship to God. It would mean that God at one time was ignorant and then he gained knowledge. Therefore, the only knowledge that we can predicate of God is knowledge of the Creator. And that's what the Rambam means, by the way, in Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah. Perek Beis Halacha Tes. Kol HaNimtzoyim Chutz Min HaBorei, every existence besides HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mitzura Horishino Agitush Koton Sheyye Betabur Horetz Hakoel Mikoyach Amitasoi Nimtzu Ulefi Shehu Yedei Atmai. Since God knows himself, Umakir Gedulaso Vesefarto Amitaso Hu Yedei Akol Vein Dover Nelam Mimeno. Since HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows himself, so he knows everything. That Rambam seems to be a very mystical one. What does it mean, since HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows himself, he knows everything? He looks at himself and he knows me? looks at himself and he knows the world? What does the Rambam mean? The answer is very simple. The Rambam means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's knowledge is knowledge of the Creator. Since it's knowledge of the Creator, he doesn't gain knowledge of what's happening, of the world, by observing what's happening, by looking at the world, by viewing it, because that's impossible. That's knowledge of the observer. But rather, his knowledge stems from the fact that he is the Creator and he knows all the possibilities and everything that might occur. Since this is so, he knows everything that exists and knows every single incident which occurs. That's what the Rambam means. Now, let's understand in one more area. The Rambam also says in the Marat Avachim that insofar as a person has true knowledge, he is under the Hashgach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But animals in the lower life, lower plant life, the animal life, is not under the Hashgach Pratiyas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But rather, they're subject to the world of chance, the realm of chance. Question is, what is the realm of chance? Is there really such a thing? Actually, when we investigate, we see that at first sight, we believe that there is such a thing as chance. We see a person shuffle dice, throw them on the table, and we assume the dice could have turned, the face of the dice could have turned upward in various amounts of possibilities. However, when we analyze it a little closer, we find that such is not the case, because the dice were placed in the man's hand in a certain position. He shuffled them a certain amount of times. His muscles and his hands moved them a certain amount of positions, and when he threw them out of his hand, they were predetermined by the court to have a specific part turned up, part of the dice turned upwards. So that what we think is chance is merely on our part an ignorance of the factors. We have knowledge that a certain amount of factors can occur. We know the basic cause involved. We know that there are only a certain... No, we know that the dice have to face a certain amount of possibilities. But as to the particulars, we don't have the knowledge. So chance means when we are ignorant in regard to the particulars. However, we have knowledge in regard to the basic realm. We have knowledge up to a certain point of possibilities. Certain amount of possibilities we can eliminate, a certain amount we can't. And chance refers to those possibilities that we cannot eliminate. So that chance really is a misnomer. It's a projection onto the external world of our ignorance. But actually, he who knows all the factors knows precisely how those dice are going to land. Similarly, in regard to the universe, if a flea is on the ear of an elephant in a certain part of Africa at a certain time, this might appear to be chance. But in reality, it's not chance, because if we were aware of all the factors from the time of creation, we would know exactly how and why everything occurs, and we'd understand that a certain flea is going to wind up on the ear of a certain elephant at a certain date. This knowledge, however, is based upon one thing. This knowledge is based upon knowledge of causality. So that he who has knowledge of all the causes will also have knowledge of all the results. Now we're ready to understand the Rambam's question. Rambam's question is as follows. That is good insofar as the universe in general is concerned. Because when God created the universe, so all the causes were present. And since he created it, so everything must occur precisely the way he formulated it at the beginning. Because all the factors were there at the beginning. This is good insofar as everything in the universe is concerned, except one thing, except man. Because with man, we say, the cause is in him. The cause of a particular action is in him. This cause is not predetermined, which means there is no cause existing, or there was no cause existing at the time of creation, to coerce or to force a certain individual to do a certain action at a certain time. But rather, whenever an action occurred, this action was solely determined by the will of the individual, which immediately preceded, or which preceded this event. So that when a person is born, his action, there are no causes for his actions at the time of his birth, but rather his actions are determined by his decision-making process, which occurs later on, prior to any event, or prior to any action which he does. So that the Rambam's question is simply as follows. His question is, since knowledge of results is based upon the knowledge of causes, how is it possible to say that God has the knowledge of what a particular individual will do at a particular time? Because to say that God's knowledge is of the observer is impossible. We must say his knowledge is that of the Creator. But the knowledge of the Creator is based upon the fact that the Creator knows all the causes at the time of creation, therefore he knows all the results. But the cause of man's action is his will, which occurs prior to the particular decision that he makes. However, at the time of creation, the man was not confronted with these decisions. So the man did not decide yet. His will was non-existent. And therefore, since there are no other causes, the factors to determine the results were non-existent. So the question is, the only way God would be able to have knowledge, insofar as man is concerned, is through observation, to observe the cause, to observe the event. This knowledge of the observer, is impossible in relationship to God. So the Rambam's question isn't that God's knowledge prevents or determines the action of an individual and prevents free will. But rather, the question is, since there is such a thing as free will, which means that the cause lies within the man to decide whether he will be a tzaddik or a rasha, and the causes did not exist, or are not predetermined, but rather the causes lie in him, how does God have pre-knowledge of what a certain individual is going to do? That is the Rambam's question. His question is, how can God know where there is no knowledge? Because knowledge is based upon causality, is based upon the knowledge of the causes. But we say in relationship to man that there are no causes. The causes are the man at the time. So that when God created man, there were no factors to determine that he should act in a certain way at a certain time. But these factors arise later. So how does God know at the time of birth what precisely the man is going to do? The only possibility would seem to us to be that God observes the individual. Well, that's knowledge of the observer at the time. But it's not knowledge of the Creator. The question is simply, how can knowledge of the Creator exist when the factors are non-existent? And we say that God has knowledge of what man will do before he does it. But this would seem to be outside the realm of knowledge. That is the Rambam's question. Again, how could there be knowledge of the Creator when the factors are non-existent, when the causes are non-existent? Now we can understand the Lashon HaRambam very well. The Rambam says, Shema Tomar, V'aloi HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yodea Kol Mashiach, V'Kadosh Shi Yeda Shi Yeda Shezei Yetzadek or Rasha, Alo Yeda. Im Yeda Shehu Yetzadek, if you're going to say he has the knowledge that he will be a tzaddik, E.F. Shishalo Yetzadek, it's impossible he shouldn't be a tzaddik, because knowledge means that the causes are existent. And if the causes are existent beforehand, at the time of the man's birth, so then the man has no choice, there's no free will. Vim tomar she yeda she yeh tzaddik. But if you're going to say that God knows somehow he's going to be a tzaddik, the efshe she yeh rasha, but the possibilities are still there that the man should be a rasha, which means the causes were non-existent beforehand. Hare lo yoda adavra burya. We can't say that God really knew this thing well. Why? Because since the causes were not existent before, so knowledge in this area is impossible. So therefore, we will have to say that God did not have full knowledge of the situation, because knowledge per se is impossible in that situation. That's why the Rambam uses that Lashon. What the Rambam means is simply, if you're going to say he knows he's going to be a tzaddik, and there's the possibility he should be a rasha, which means there are no causes. So if that's the case, there's no knowledge. Hare lo yada davra burya. He really didn't know that this thing was going to occur, because he didn't have any knowledge of the causes. And yeda hadavra burya means he knows fully, he understands, he knows the causes. That's only possible when the causes are pre-existent. But over here, he doesn't know the causes, so he's lacking knowledge. He only really understands it after the man makes a decision, because then the cause is existent. But before the man makes a decision, the cause isn't there. So that God lacks knowledge of the cause, even though we should say he knows somehow, but he still is going to lack knowledge of the cause. And once you say he lacks knowledge of the cause, because the factors were not existent, so you have to say that God's knowledge was lacking. And this is impossible. Now we can understand the Rambam's answer. The Rambam says that the answer to this question, the Rufa Meretz Midah Rechav Manayam, why? Because we don't understand how God knows something and what his knowledge is. He says, Ukeshem she'en kayach ba'adam lahasig v'limtso amita sabare she'nemar ki lo yirani ha'adam v'choy kach ein koach ba'adam lahasig v'limtso daito shabare. Man cannot know God's knowledge. Hu she'anavi omar ki lo machshivosei machshivoseichem v'lo darcheichem d'rochoy. The kivan shekenu ein banu koach leida heyach yeda kodesh baruch hu kol abruin v'amasim. We can't know how God knows all the existences and all the actions. Meaning the problem, this is a direct answer to the question of the Rambam. The Rambam's question was, how could God possibly know if he doesn't know the cause? How could God have pre-knowledge where the causes are non-existent? This means, in other words, even if we should say that somehow he does know the event is going to occur, but still he's going to lack knowledge of the cause. And since he lacks knowledge of the cause, so then his knowledge is incomplete beforehand. So the Rambam says, the answer to this question is, he doesn't give the full answer. He just gives us the direction of the answer. And the answer is because we cannot comprehend the knowledge of God. And knowledge of God is totally differentiated from our knowledge. In our world, in our system, if a person lacks knowledge of the cause, so then he lacks knowledge. However, in God's system, somehow, there is a different type of knowledge, which is a knowledge of events that will occur. It's knowledge not based upon causality. It is a different realm of knowledge, which man cannot comprehend. Okay. This ends the philosophical part of the philosophical understanding of the Rambam. However, there's one point I think that needs a little clarification, and it's the psychological aspect. The difficulty that most people have with the problem which they read into the Rambam is, since God knows, so therefore we don't have any free will. The difficulty is based upon two things. First of all, it's based on the inability or the lack of definition of free will. That's one. But it's also based on a psychological factor. And this is a difficulty in philosophy, because many times psychological factors prevent us from seeing the truth. And this factor is basically a childhood experience. The child envisions himself, or wishes to envision himself, as all-powerful. However, there is one threat to the child's all power, desire for all total power, and that is the knowledge of the parent. To him, the knowledge of the parent is a restrictive factor. And since the parents know whenever the parent predicts that you're going to do this and this is going to happen, such will occur, this is a blow to the child's ego and to the child's power. So that knowledge from youth, the knowledge of the parent, is always viewed upon as a limiting factor in the ability or the power of the child, in other words, in his free will. So that the child envisions that the knowledge of the parent limits his freedom. That's why most people, when they think of the problem, they get caught up in the web of pro and con, to and fro, in relationship to the fact that if God does know, does this mean that I have to do it? Or do we say no, that God knows what's going to happen? He knows which choice I'm going to make. And you could look at it one way emotionally and look at it the other way. There are two factors there. One is a lack of definition, and two, the psychological factor, that a person always feels that the knowledge of the Father, and here we're speaking about the knowledge of God, which is the Father image, knowledge of the Father always limits the child's freedom somehow. And that's why this question is read into the Rambam. However, as we have seen, this was not the Rambam's question at all. Perek Vav, Halacha Hey.
The Rambam says like this. The Rambam in this perek is concerned with the question of Bechira Chafshis. And he explains different psukim that what might lead one to believe that there is a force which coerces them to be either good or evil. And he explains that this isn't so. Explains the psukim. So in the last halacha, halacha hey, he says like this. He says, it would seem from that pasuk that that God is good, and therefore He teaches chatoyim the way. So it would seem that So it would seem that he yora, with the word yora, even though yora means to shoot forth. But you could interpret to mean yora that he forces the chatoyim. He forces them. He coerces them. The Ram says, no, it doesn't mean that. He says, Zesh Shalach Nevim Lahem Odim Darche Hashem Achzina Sumachuva. It doesn't mean that God really is instrumental in bringing the Chote back from his bad ways, because that's up to him. He has to do this himself, out of Bechira. But it means that he sent Nevim to them who teach them the truth. And then they themselves, he creates the situation. But not that he actually causes them directly to be good. The act of being good, the final performance of the good is done by themselves, self-determined. But he gives them the situation, and in this framework, in the situation which they have, they can exercise their own self-determination. Okay, that's what he says. So that's what the pasuk means. Vauch nasim bem koch lo mor lohaven, and also it means that it's praising God because He gave them the ability to learn and to understand. Because this is true with every person. Interesting Rama. That is this exists among every person, that as long as he follows the path of Chachma and righteousness, he desires it and he runs after it. So really, somebody has to cash in the Rambam. When the Rambam said that Avas Hashem is an intellectual phenomena, so they have to cash in. They say that that's okay for an intellectual, but most people aren't intellectuals. So the mitzvah of Avas Hashem has to be for everybody. It can't just be for an intellectual, Yechid Bedar. So they said, therefore, since this is the case, they want to argue with the Rambam. They said that it's really not an intellectual thing, but it's an emotional thing. So you see, the Rambam over here disagrees, because the Rambam says Shemidazu b'chol adam shekolzman shu nimshach b'darkei achachma nisavalem v'atzedek nisavalem v'rodev osam. That really the enjoyment of chachma, the enjoyment of knowledge, exists in every person. The question is a question of degree, and many times people don't enjoy chachma because of the way they were taught, so that their thought processes were corrupted. But the truth of the matter is that every individual has that ability, insofar as long as he's a normal human being, he has the ability to enjoy Chachma. And you can see this is really, you can see that with little games, and sometimes even like little riddles or things that you ask a kid, figure something out, and any kid would basically be interested in it. You show him how it works. He's excited about it. The excitement of knowledge really exists in everybody. That's what the Rambam holds. If it doesn't, it's because it was destroyed. But basically, everybody has that ability. So that's why that's no kasha in the Rambam, that Avas Hashem is intellectual. It's only for intellectuals. It's not true. The amount, the quantity, is definitely not the same. Some people have the ability to think for hours and hours. Other people can only think for an hour a day, half hour a day, whatever it is. But that, the Gemara says, that doesn't make any difference. I mean, you can't change that. Person learns 2 hours a day, learns 10 hours a day. It depends on his ability. It's true, there is a certain inherent ability. Some people can do more. Others can't do as much. But the important thing is that every person in his life must experience this enjoyment, this intellectual enjoyment. That's the important thing. As far as he can. Not everybody can do it to the degree that certain individuals can. I mean, it can't be the only guy who can learn 22 hours a day, but not everybody can do that. But the basic ability is there. Okay.
Yes.
Lumar Shamu Razal, Bolatar Messiah so. Klomar, Yimotse Atzmo Nezar al Hadavar. So this one means Bolatar Messiah so. What does it mean? It means, interesting, he doesn't learn Messiah so means that it's, well, it means Menashemayim. Messiah so means that if he decides to do good, he will find that the, he will find that there's a momentum there, which will find himself, he's involved in a certain momentum which makes it easier for him. Yimotze atzmo nezer al hadavar. So he decides he wants to live a life of chachma. So in the beginning, the first step is a very difficult one, to get into chachma. But once he gets in there, he'll find that he's drawn. That's what it means, Messiah. So he's drawn. So the Rambam says that's what it means. That's what Chazal mean, that Baal Taras and Messiah. So it doesn't necessarily mean that suddenly something's going to occur that will change his whole life. Messiah means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the one that he created, he gave this midah in a person. Shemidah Zul B'Chaladam. The midah is that when a person runs after Chachma, it all of a sudden starts going by itself. So that's what it means. Baal Taras, a person wants to live a good life, wants to live the correct life. So all of a sudden he finds that he himself is drawn into it, and he is helped. Yimotze atzmo nezer al hadavar. He himself is pulled along, and therefore he gains without doing anything on his own even. See, Messiah also means that he doesn't have to do the whole perfection, the act of perfecting himself alone. He starts it, and then it itself pulls him forward. That's what it means, Messiah. That's what Rambam says. What the Rambam means is that psychological rule that when a person, we've mentioned this many times, that the difficulty in learning is because all the psychic energy initially attaches itself to materialistic things. And the reason is because in early youth, all the energy attaches itself to materialism before the mind develops. The Gemara says the Yetzer Hara is until 12, 13. Then the Yetzer HaTov comes in, right? What is the Yetzer HaTov? The Yetzer HaTov is the intellect. Before that time, it's just emotions. Just emotions is always, just emotions is always bad. Good emotions are bad emotions. Doesn't make any difference. Yes, the Chira Chavshis means that he determines his self-determination. Now, what happens after the point of self-determination is a different story. Of course, if he, all Bechir Chavshis means is that he himself, there is a certain point at which he is the cause. He himself is the cause. You see? Now, after that point, that's not already a denial of Bechir Chavshis. The same, it works the opposite way too. That if a person runs after bad things, then he's also Misavalan. So the thing is that the truth of the matter is that most people never really have a fair choice in life. Why? Because the taivas, you see, as long as the energy is attached to the taivas, so then it's hard for him to, he can't pull away. Because the energy, when the energy becomes attached to something, it stays there.
Is that most of the time?
That's most of the time, right. Now, really, he can't be a judge of what is a better life. The life of the taivas or the life of the terror, life of chachma. Why? Because he doesn't have a chance to judge the other types of he doesn't have a chance to judge Torah because he's attached to the taivas. However, when he withdraws, if he can, when he does withdraw from the taivas, and then he gets into the world of chachma, suddenly he'll find he's drawn there. See, why is he drawn there? Because the truth of the matter is that world affords greater pleasure than the other one, but the difficulty is to make the transition. You understand? The next transition to pull yourself away from this, because you're attached to this from early youth. And if a person stops learning, immediately the energy goes back to the taivas. Then he has to withdraw. A person that's on a high level, a person that's always in the world of chachma, never has this problem because he's always there. See? Well, with most of us, what happens is that momentarily we're there, we sit and learn, we really enjoy it, so it's great. Then you go away for a few hours, goes back. Then he has to withdraw again. That's the way it works. But once you are in that world of Chachma, you're drawn there, because the enjoyment is really far greater there than it is in any other area. See? But the only thing is that if you stop, naturally, the first direction of the energy is towards the physical. You have to reroute it to that which is metaphysical. Once you reroute it, then already the enjoyment is then the enjoyment over there is greater. But if you stop, it goes back to the other order. That's the whole thing. Went through this a few times. Okay. Also, a different question. It's like this. Halo kosev b'Torah, but the Torah says like this question. We say that everybody has bechira chavshis, and bechira chavshis means not only Jews, but it means a guy also, ben nayach also. Yeah, ben nayach also. Torah of avodim ve'inu osam, hare gozer ala mitzriyim lasas ra. So you see, it says in the Torah of avodim ve'inu osam that God predicted when he told Avram Avinu by Bris Ben Absorim that there will be another nation that will work and torment the Jews. So you see that there has, so apparently what does it mean? It means that God decided at that point.
It's fixed.
Has to occur. Must occur.
Where's the Bechira?
So where is the Bechira? And the Rambam was just as disturbed with the question of Bechira for a guy as a question of Bechira for a Jew. I mean, Bechira everybody has. Bechira everybody has. No difference. Difference is Tayag or Shev Mitzvahs B'nai Nayach. But in terms of Adam, a guy could be Chassid Yom HaSolem. Yomar says Bava Kama, Afilu Akum V'Osak B'Teres Moshe, even a guy that sat and learned Teres Moshe, Yesh L'Chelek Olam Abba. So a guy is a very high existence. It's nothing inherently a guy can reach a very high level. Even though the Gemara says, Adam Atem Kriyum Adam, Vein Shar Humos Kriyum Adam, what it means over there is it doesn't mean that every individual guy is that way. It means in general, a person that doesn't have the system of Tayag will not live like an Adam. But that's because the Tayag Mitzvah is necessary in order to raise a person to the level of Adam. But they can be, it's not because of the guy's inherent nature that he doesn't reach it. Inherently, he can reach it. The only thing is that without the system, there isn't that great a chance for him to do it. But inherently, he has the Bechira, he can reach it. He can reach high level above, very high level. So, so the Ram was disturbed. How could you say about Egyptians that it was already preordained? It was decreed that the Egyptians should work the Jews. This certainly is an Avera. And once that decree was given by the Bris Ben Absorim, it had to occur. Now, what kind of free will does the Egyptian have once this decree is given? That's the Rambam's kasha. Ulchasiv, yes, another kasha. V'komo mazev v'zono acharei elehei nechar oretz. So the pasuk says by Dvarim, and Moshe Rabbeinu says that the. I think it was at the end, right? He said that he knows that after he dies, they're going to serve Avodah Zarah. So, Kadosh Baruch Hu, that was Moshe saying. Now, Kadosh Baruch Hu said, "V'kama mazev zonah chayali necharatz." So you see that God said that they will serve Avodah Zarah. Hare gozal Yisrael lavoit kum. So you see that he was goes around the Jews. He said they will definitely, if God says this will happen, it has to occur. So it means the Jews have no bechira now. Not just the Kashan Goyim, Kashan Jews also. V'lama nifra mehen. That's the case, and then why do they deserve an onish? Why should they be punished for something that they had to do? Okay? That's the Rambam's Kasha. That's the Rambam's Kasha. I'm in Perek Hei, Halacha Hei, already asked the question. It's funny, the Ravid acted up over there, so we get to. Same thing. Really, same, it's the same area. Same area. A little bit, more or less. We'll see. Now, the Rambam says over there, he says, Shema Tema, maybe you'll say, God knows everything that will occur, right? Before it occurs, right? Okay. And he knows that this person will be a tzaddik and this person will be a rasha, right? And the Rambam continues, if he knows the man will be a tzaddik, it's impossible that he shouldn't be a tzaddik. And if you're going to say that he knows he's going to be a tzaddik and it's possible to be a rasha, then God didn't know it. Okay.
So we explained that Rambam once. We explained that Rambam one time. And I guess I'll have to. Is there, how many didn't hear that Rambam? Here it is. Maybe you'll say, listen carefully, maybe you'll say, God knows everything that will occur. Everything that will occur. Okay. And before it occurs, he knows that this person will be a tzaddik or a rasha, or he doesn't know. The Rambam's formulation is like is very odd, to say the least. This is one Rambam that most people think they understand the Rambam's kasha, but they don't really understand the Rambam's kasha. And if you look at the Lashon HaRambam, you'll see that the Rambam's kasha is not as most people think. Most people think that the Rambam's asking, if God knows it, then therefore there's no more free will, because he knows what's going to happen. So you don't have any free will, right? If you take a look carefully at the Rambam's Lashon, you see that's not what he's asking. But listen to the way he formulates. It's like this. He says, maybe you'll say that God knows everything that will occur, and before it happens, he knows that this person will be a tzaddik or a rasha. He should have stopped there. That's it, right? No, he goes on. Three more words. Or he doesn't know. What is or he doesn't know? What does he put that in for? Now he goes on. He says, if he knows that he should be a tzaddik, it's impossible that he shouldn't be a tzaddik. And if you're going to say that he knows that he is a tzaddik, he knows that he will be a tzaddik, and it's still possible that he will be a rasha, then he didn't know the thing well. I mean, what he should have said was, if he knows that he's does not want us to have anything physical, if he knows that he's going to be a tzaddik, it's impossible that he shouldn't be a tzaddik, and therefore there's no bechira, that's all. What's the second half? He says, and if you're going to say he knows that he's going to be a tzaddik, but it's still possible that he should be a rasha, he didn't know the thing well. Well, what do you mean he didn't know the thing well? Of course, he didn't know it at all. He didn't know the thing well. He didn't know it. That's all. If you're going to say that he knows he's going to be a tzaddik, and it's possible that he should be a rasha, then he didn't know it. No, he says he didn't know the thing well. Hey, what kind of a formulation is that, Rambam? So we explain that the Rambam means over here, this kasha, it isn't that because God knows there's no more free will. Because the definition of free will is that you, the individual, is the cause of his own good. That's what free will means. Free will means that the individual is the cause. Now, knowledge, extraneous knowledge from another source has nothing to do with the cause. For instance, if I know that a fire will take place in 24 hours at a certain spot, my knowledge is not the cause of that fire. You understand? Because if it was, then if I would cease to exist, then the fire wouldn't take place. Right? And if you realize that would be an absurdity. So therefore, someone's knowledge as to what will occur is not a causative agent in the occurrence. That was never the Rambam's kasha. God's knowledge as to what will occur does not remove Bechira, because the knowledge is that certain things with certain causes, knowledge of something is an extraneous thing to the occurrences. If God has knowledge that certain causes will take place, his knowledge isn't the cause. It's knowledge of the causes. And therefore, his knowledge doesn't coerce, just like anybody's knowledge doesn't coerce. If I know that something will occur, that doesn't mean that I'm the cause of it. And if I died and if I didn't know it wouldn't occur, if I wasn't in existence, that has nothing to do with it. If I was the cause, then my knowledge would definitely be necessary in order for the thing to occur. And if I had died, or if I didn't exist beforehand, then these things wouldn't occur. You understand what I mean? Let's say, for instance, I know something's going to take place. I know a car will crash into a tree tomorrow. 2:00. So now if you're going to say, because I know it, that that's why it's going to occur, that means if I didn't exist, it wouldn't occur. That's not true. So you see that knowledge is not a causative agent in the phenomenon. Knowledge, on the contrary, knowledge is an extraneous thing. Knowledge only knowledge is of the causative agents that are going on. And since that's the case, it's no question, the fact that God knows something doesn't mean that he's a causative agent. He's not a causative agent in the process. It just means he knows the causes, but he isn't the cause. So therefore, since he isn't the cause,
So therefore, there's no problem with with why the individual has Bechira Chafshis, even though God knows. It's two different things. One thing is the other. This Rambam is a misunderstood Rambam. That's not what the Rambam meant to ask. The Rambam means something else here. The Rambam's kasha isn't on Bechira Chafshis so much, but his kasha is on God's knowledge. See? That's what the kasha is. And then you'll see why the Rambam formulates it that way. Rambam's kasha is like this. See, all knowledge is based, knowledge of occurrences. How does God know? The Rambam explains in the Mirror. God knows. The Rambam explains over here, really, in the beginning. Now, in the beginning, Hilchas Yisrael HaTorah. See if I can find it. Hold it a second. Torah, Perek Beis, Halacha Yud. The Rambam says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Makir Amito. God knows his essence. The Yodea Osa Kemoshe Hi. And he knows it the way it is. Now it's like this. Ve'eno Yodea B'deo Shehi Chutz Mimeno. And God doesn't know things with a knowledge that's extraneous from him. Kemoshe Ono Yodin. Like we know. She'ein Onu V'daitenu Echad. Avala Bore Yisbarach. Hu V'daita V'chayav Echad. Mikol Tadam. Mikol Pina. Mikol Derech Yichud. Now, one second. Chutzman Abore Mitzura Rishona Ad Yitishkot and Shiyiv Tabor Oretz Hakol Mikoach Amitaso Nimzu. Everything that exists comes from his essence. Now, it's like this. Ulefi Shehu Yodea Atzmo. Since God knows himself, Umakir Gedulaso, and he knows his greatness, Visifatov Amitaso, Hu Yodea Akol, Vain Dover Nelamimeno. The Rambam says, God knows everything because he knows himself. You see? That's what the Rambam says. What does the Rambam mean? The Rambam means that God is not to be equated with an observer, like we are. How do we have knowledge of something? Because we observe it. We observe extraneously. We see something occurs. He says God is not that way. God doesn't observe. God doesn't take a look down at the world and say, oh, I see what this person is doing, what that person is doing. Or I see that this is occurring and that is occurring. But God knows everything that occurs because he knows himself. He looks into himself and he knows everything. We're using, of course, everything we use is descriptive. Looks, all these things are descriptive terms, can't be applied to God. But we're just using them because we have no better way of expressing ourselves. But anyways, that's what the Rambam says. So God knows everything because he knows himself. He looks at himself and he knows everything. What exactly does the Rambam mean? What kind of an odd thing is this? He looks at himself and he knows everything. So if you take a look, the Rambam in the Mirror discusses. The Rambam says, there's two types of knowledge. There's a knowledge of the observer, and there's a knowledge of the creator. Simple example. A person could know what time it is on the clock by observing, taking a look at the clock. He sees the clock strikes 10:30. Okay? So he knows that's 10:30. But the clockmaker could also know it's 10:30 without even looking at the clock. Why? Because since he created the clock and he knows the mechanisms, he knows exactly every causative agent that's involved in the work that's behind, or in the mechanisms behind the clock, and he knows how it's going to occur. Therefore, he knows that at a certain time, after a certain amount of time, it's going to be 10:30. You follow? So let's say, for instance, he has in front of him one of these sand things. You know what they call them? Hourglass, right? He has an hourglass. So he sets up his hourglass a few times, and then I'll say, after 4 hours, right now that clock reads 10:30, even though he didn't look at it. Why? How does he know? Because, not because he observed the clock, but because he understands every causative agent. He constructed the clock. He understands every causative agent involved, and he knows that it has to occur this way, and that has to occur that way, and that's it. Okay. Now, the truth of the matter is that in this world is like a big clock. Because everything that, when God created it, he put all the causative agents in it. So God knows exactly what's going to occur at any given time. Not because he has to observe like we do. We only have an inferior type of knowledge. We have the knowledge of the observer. We take a look at something and we see scientific knowledge is all observation. That's the second, the lower type of knowledge. Because I have to take a look at the world, I have to check, see, well, this is occurring, that's occurring, then I try to find the causes. But God knows the causes initially, and therefore he knows that a certain fish is eating a certain worm at a certain time. Because if you had knowledge of every single cause that was put into the world at the time it was created, you'd also be able to know exactly what's going to occur at a certain time. Truth of the matter is, there's no such thing as chance. Chance merely means that you don't know. That's all chance means. But in reality, there's no such thing as chance. When a person shuffles a dice and he throws them on a table and he thinks it's a chance occurrence that they came up 7-Eleven, it's not a chance occurrence. But what it means is that if you would really know the causative agents that went on in that, you take a look, you know every motion of the hand, exactly how the dice were rolled, were placed in the hand a certain way, and the muscles moved this way and that way, and therefore there were the dice were caused to go this way, and they left your hand at a certain angle, and they hit the table at a certain angle, therefore you'd know it has to come up to this number. Fellow, the only reason why I think it's chance is because you're not aware, you're ignorant of the causes. But if you were aware of every single causative agent that was involved in that, you'd know exactly how it works. Like Bruce does. That's not knowledge of the observer, that's knowledge of the creator. So the Rambam, that's what the Rambam means when the Rambam says that God looks at himself and he knows everything. He looks at himself, he means his knowledge. Because God has the total knowledge. And since he has the total knowledge of everything, all knowledge stems from himself, so that's why he knows every occurrence when it occurs. Because he put the clock together. Right? Everybody understand that? Yes, Melody. The Rambam's question wasn't that because God knows, that the fact that someone knows what's going to happen, that removes free will. Because knowledge is an extraneous thing. See, knowledge is not a causative agent. But the Rambam's kasha is, how does God know? God knows, like he explained before. Because God looks at himself, and he knows the whole world. Because he put everything together. So he knows what every cause and every effect. Okay. So the Rambam says that would be good in regard to everything except in regard to human affairs. Because since man has free will, it must necessarily mean that there were no causative agents that were predetermined on the day of creation that will cause him to act this way or to act that way. But he is the sole determinant. Now if he is the sole determinant, so that means that there is no way to have a previous knowledge of what's going to happen. Because how could you have a previous knowledge of what's going to happen? A previous knowledge of what's going to happen is only based on causality. But in regard to Adam, in regard to man, there's no previous causality. So therefore, we'd be impossible for God to know. And if God does know, so then what does it mean? It means that all the causes are there. The dice, just like the dice, it's set. If it's set, then there's no free will. That's the Rambam's kasha. The clock is constructed. Everything's ready to go. Then you could know. But if you're going to tell me that what?
There's no causes,
then you can't know. It's impossible to know. Hey, that's the real shot in the Rambam. That's why the Rambam says, that's why he formulates it that way. So he says, Shema Tomar, V'alo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yodea Kol Ma Sheyeh. He knows everything is going to be. V'kodem Sheyeh, and before it occurs, Yeda, he knows, Shezeh Yetzadek O Rasha, Olo Yeda. Why does he put in Olo Yeda? Because his question is on God's knowledge. His question isn't on... If the question was on Mechira, he wouldn't have said, Allah, yeah, he said already God knows. No, the question is on God's knowledge. Either he knows it, or else he doesn't know it. Now, if he doesn't know, it's like this. If he knows he's going to be a tzaddik, so it's impossible that the person shouldn't be a tzaddik. Why? Because that means that all the causes... If he knows it, it means all the causes are determined. So now it's impossible. V'im tomar sheyeda shiye tzaddik v'ef sheshiye rasha, if you're going to say that he does know that he's going to be a tzaddik, but it still is possible. Why is it possible? Because the causes aren't determined. Harei lo yoda dovra burio, he didn't know it well. Because to know something well means to know the causes. But now if it's possible for a person not to be a tzaddik or not to be a rasha, right? So that means that there's no causes. That means that there's no causality involved, then how could God say, how could we say that he knew it? How could he know it? See, Rambam means like this. In relationship, let me just say one thing. When the Rambam's talking about God's knowledge, the Rambam's answer is like this. That God's knowledge is different than our knowledge. That's his answer. And the knowledge that he has is more than causality. Is more than causality. Causality is only the knowledge that a human being has. But God's knowledge is greater, is different. And we can't conceive this knowledge because we only operate with the knowledge of causality. The Rambam's answer, the Rambam holds that the that God's knowledge is greater. That's why he says later, the Rabboyo. What he means is that how do I know something's going to occur? Because I know that A causes B, right? B causes C, and I know that it has to occur that way. Now, if I have another kind of, if there's another kind of knowledge, like some people will say, well, let's see, he has a certain feeling, he senses something will occur, right? Well, it is true that there are other ways of knowing things besides knowing the causality. A person can have a certain sense. Yeah, psychophenomena. Ram does have does believe in psychophenomena. He does believe, yes. But he maintains, he maintains that the ESP, Ram does offer that. Ram in the Modern Vacham says there is such a thing, But that is not real knowledge. That is not real knowledge. Well, whatever it is. But it's not what the Rambam calls total knowledge. In a certain sense. Certain sense. But anyways, that's what Rambam is later. That's what Rambam is later of Bruya. But real, but we can't say that God operates with that, because that's an inferior thing. That's like a that's not real knowledge. That's what Rambam says. But in relationship to God's knowledge, the conclusion of the Rambam is that God's knowledge is not like that type of thing. It's not like a sense, because that's inferior to even knowledge. That's inferior to knowledge. But the Rambam says that God's knowledge is a knowledge which really surpasses causality. Knowledge of causality is human knowledge. God's knowledge is knowledge that surpasses causality. Of course, there was one. That's why the Ralbag, Rabbeinu Levi ben Gershon, was a little bit upset about this Rambam, because he said, if that's the case, so then causality really isn't knowledge, because you see, God has a knowledge other than causality. If that's the case, then our knowledge isn't knowledge, and all our knowledge is of causality. So the Ralbag went on a different path, totally different path. A lot of Rishonim were very upset with his conclusions. I have to draw certain conclusions that perhaps God doesn't know everything and every point and every time. Shem was upset with his conclusion. But the Rambam, the answer to Rambam was like, Rambam definitely didn't hold that way. Rambam holds you're not allowed to, maintain such an idea that God has limited any type of knowledge, even knowledge of particulars. Okay. But the thing is, according to the Rambam, the answer is what?
The answer is
the true way of having, of knowing things. So then it's correct, and if it's not, so then it's nothing. So wasting our time. That what? Not the green. Reality fits into a greater framework. See, it fits in. It's not false. It fits into a greater framework, and the greater framework is God's knowledge. We only have one part of the framework. So it's not really wrong. It's not really wrong, but it's not the total knowledge. It's not false. But it's not total knowledge. That's what the Rambam holds, yes. That's what the Rambam holds. Terekei already established that knowledge, God's knowledge, doesn't intervene. Because God's knowledge is of a different, is of a certain nature. How he has this knowledge is the question. The Rambam's question is, how does he have this knowledge? But it's a different kind of knowledge. But knowledge is not a causative agent. Now, what's the Rambam's akasha over here? This is what Abi was asking. He asked it very quickly in one sentence. It took me about a half hour to explain it. That's what he meant. That the Rambam, what's the Rambam's question over here? Rambam asks a question. He says that these psukim vavodin v'ido oisam. No, that's not kash. It's the same thing the Rambam asked before. The Rambam before mentions, what did he say? He knows what's going to occur, right? And since he knows what's going to occur, so you're going to tell me that there's no bechira? Yeah, that's not even a question. I mean, right? So what is the Rambam asking over here? What's the Rambam asking over here? What's the Rambam asking about Vadim Vinoasan? So what? So God knows a lot of things. He knew about Vadim Vinoasan. He also knew what? He also knows every person. Why do you have to ask a question from the Vadim Vinoasan what the Mitzvah are going to do? Doesn't God know every individual at every moment what's going to happen next minute, 5 minutes later, an hour later, a day, a month later? What? That's a discussion. Why do you have to go to the Pesukim and ask a question from Vadim Vinoasan? Every person, he knows every person. The Rambam discussed that already. The premise is that the fact that God has a knowledge is not a causative agent, so that doesn't cause it. God has this knowledge, it's a second question. We don't understand his knowledge. His knowledge is qualitatively differentiated than ours. We have knowledge of causality, and his knowledge is a greater knowledge. That's the answer. So why? What was what's the difficulty now? Well, suddenly the Rambam's asking this question. That question was already taken up before. It wasn't even necessary to take it up. The fact was, the fact, you have that fact before, certainly, you have the fact all the time. What do you have to have a psukim for?
What's the answer?
Oh, Avodah Zinah Asan. So what's the Rambam's kasha? It's no kasha altogether. Right? Okay, what are you saying? Avodah Zinah Asan is not just something that's going to happen, but it's something that has to happen. Has to happen. Has to happen because of otherwise Klal Yisrael wouldn't be would never be able to be created, and it was part of God's will that the that this should occur. That was the Brisbane Up song that God conveyed His will to Avraham Avinu that His offspring will receive the Torah. V'achrechein yetzav v'chush gadol, and ma'amid ha'sinai Klal Yisrael was Klal Yisrael. So therefore, that had to occur.
That itself is not
knowledge of what will occur. That was a decree, a gzera, that it must occur. Right? Now, therefore the Rambam's kasha is this isn't just foreknowledge, but it was a historical law. This must occur, just like a law of nature was a historical law. Now, if it is a historical law, then you have a problem. Then already it's not just foreknowledge. Then it means that this definitely must occur. That's the case. And you certainly can't blame the Egyptians. Matter of fact, they were serving a very good purpose. They were bringing about the birth of Klal Yisrael. The Matan Torah. Right? That's the Rambam's kasha. It's good. Okay? It would hardly be a decree.
Also, the New Testament.
What? It would be in their hands, but he knew that they.
Right.
He knew that. Why do you have to say that this is. Well, when you say a decree, you don't have to say it really is a decree. See? All you have to say really is that God knew that such and such will occur. That's all. He knew that if he would put the Jews in the Egyptians' hands, what bechira they would. What choice they would make. He knew this. That's all. And therefore he decided to put the Jews in their hands. That's all he's saying?
Right.
Okay. So therefore, the question is no question to begin with, right? Okay, it's a good question. Good question. Let's take a look at the Rambam's answer. Okay, good question. So then, Abi's question comes back. Even if you say it's a decree, why do you have to say it was? The decree is the historical law is only. Right. That's right. It's true there was a historical law that the Jews have to undergo such a thing, but he knew that the Egyptians would be the ones that would make that choice. Coincidental. Gozar al ish ploni hayadua sheyiyahu hazona. He goes on the second case where it says that the Jews will definitely serve avodah zarah v'kol mamazeh. So he says he didn't say that this particular individual has to serve avodah zarah. He's going to be the one that does it. Ela kol echad ve'echad me'osam hazonim la'avod kum. In any one of those people who served avodah zarah, ilu le'rotza la'avod lo haya avod. If he didn't want to serve Avodah Zarah, he didn't have to serve Avodah Zarah. And God was only telling us the minute of the world, what is going to happen. What is this similar to? He says, in this nation there's going to be righteous ones and there's going to be Rishayim. So Russia can't say because of that, that already has been, it has already been decreed that I am supposed to be a Russia. Because he told Moshe that there's going to be a Rishayim among the Jews. Like it says, does that mean that every person that is an Evion didn't have a choice? No, he's just telling you that that's the way it's going to be. There are people who are Shlom Zonagas. Okay. V'chein ha-Mitzrim, kol echad v'echad ma'isim ha-Mitzrim, ha-Marim l'Yisrael, ilu l'aretz l'ha-ra'am ha-shus b'yada. Right? Same thing with the Mitzrim. Every single one of those Mitzrim that did bear to the Jews, if he didn't want to, ilu l'aretz l'ha-ra'am, if they didn't want to do evil to the Jews, he had the right to abstain, not do evil. Shlo gozar al ish yadua. He didn't say on this specific person he's going to do evil. He just said that the fact will be that the Jews will be in a land that's not theirs. And we already explained that a person can't know how God knows future things. That's the Rambam. The question of the Rambam is, what is the Rambam bothering with?
The Rambam says, I already explained to you, you can't know. And he goes back. He says, I already explained to you, you can't know how God knows what's going to happen. Causality. That we know clearly. Now, what is he saying? What's bothering him over here? And what's his answer? What's bothering him? What's his answer? Now, the Ravid says like this. Listen to the Ravid. We'll go a little bit further. Then maybe we'll try to explain the Rambam. Rav Zelayas. Omar Avram. He said, Rav Zelayas. Elohim Arichas Dvarim. This is lengthy words, She'enan Metuvalim, that aren't tasty. V'chaye Roshi, says, by the life of my head, Kemara Neoma Shein Divrei Nairis. I think these are silly things. I mean, Rama's talking saying silly words. He says like this. Now this is what Rama says. Yomar Habore Lezonim. God will say to those who serve the Vadazara, Loma Zanisa, why did you serve Vadazara? Vanilo is karticha b'shem, and I didn't tell you personally, you rebuke over there, you're the one that's supposed to serve Avodah Zarah. He says, Kadesha Tomar she'olecha gzerasi, so in order that you could give yourself an excuse and say that my gzera was on you. So yomru le'azonim, so the ones that serve Avodah Zarah, they'll say back to God, they'll say like this, Valmichol gzerascha, on whom was gzera supposed to be? Alosin she'lozano, on the other ones that didn't serve Avodah Zarah. He learned that his karma exer oskos, and then the exer won't be fulfilled. Right? Okay. So, Harris. Ridiculous. The Mitzri who enslaved the Jew, so God will say to him, I didn't tell you personally to do it. I said, other Egyptians, why you? Oh, me to mention me? Who did you mention? Him? Him, he, if that's the case, then he didn't do it. That's the rabbi's kasha. What's the Rambam's kasha and what's his answer? What do you say? Which is what? If it's masses, then it's okay. Then it's no kasha. But if it's individuals already, then you have a problem. So it's not individuals. So it's the masses. Right? The masses. What does the Rambam mean? If you want to talk about individuals, my God. God came to Bilam and he said, Ni ha'anashim ha'ila imach. Bilam wasn't an idiot. Bilam was a big chacham. So when God came and he said, who are these people that are with you today? So Bilam was of the philosophy that God doesn't know particulars. He only knows universals. And Bilam was more interested in particulars than universals. Because he wanted to, you know what the Rambam says. The Rambam says in one of his letters, he says even if a tragedy occurs, and even a person, the worst tragedy occurs, and a person loses a child or something, so the person shouldn't let it really destroy him. Why? Because he says God created this world for one purpose, that we should enjoy the universals. He didn't create the world that we should enjoy the particulars. See? Knowledge, particulars, specific things. The emotions enjoy particulars. They don't enjoy universals. They enjoy particulars. Bilam or Russia was interested in particulars. Gemara says he wanted money. He said, immediately, Malay basic kesef is off. Even if no matter how much money he gives me. So the Gemara says, you see already what he was interested in.
Yeah.
The person doesn't just say, So Bilam or Russia was interested in particulars, but he was also a philosopher. And he maintained that God is above this. God is in the world of universals, but he doesn't know particulars. Which, according to his flow, which was very convenient for him, because he said, but I will be able to know the particulars. He saw that certain particulars he knows. Certain particulars he doesn't know. So he thought it was based upon the universals, that through certain universals he knows certain particulars, but he won't know all the particulars. His idea was to be able to have knowledge of certain particulars which God doesn't have knowledge of, and then he could do what he wants, because he was interested in the particulars. He was a Rashi, but he was a Chacham, you know what I mean? He wasn't a jerk. He knew he had a plan. Okay. But Yahadis maintains that God knows every single particular. As a matter of fact, that's where it says the pasuk over there. It says by what was the pasuk over there? Far as Rova Yisrael, that God knows the exact sperm that's going to make contact with the egg in order to create the tzaddik. That's part of the particulars. That's what it says. When Bilam Rasha said that, he's astounded. He thought to himself there was a derech b'zayin. How could God think of these type of things? But also the idea of the particulars, every single particular. But Yadis maintains God knows every single particular, every single microscopic phenomenon that goes on. That's what Yadis maintains. The Ram doesn't deny that. That's part of our dust. That means that a law, whenever a decree is given,
a decree can only be given in particular, not in universals. You see? In other words, if something must occur, then all the particulars involved must be set up a certain way. Otherwise, you can't say that it must occur. Do you follow what I mean? All right. If you're going to say, for instance, that a certain phenomenon is going to take place, that there's going to be a sun is going to be created, let's say. Now, how will the sun be created? Through certain atoms coming together at a certain time and moving there. It can't be done in universals. It has to be done in particular. This particular atom and this particular atom and all the other ones will have to get together at a certain point and certain interrelationships. Whenever something must occur of necessity, it automatically means that particulars must be determined. You cannot say that something must occur without relating to particulars. Otherwise, it doesn't have to occur. You follow what I mean? Do you understand? Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay. That's what the Rambam means. The Rambam means like this. That when the Torah says that the Mitzrim will enslave the Jews, the Rambam is like this: that if you says that the Mitzrim will enslave the Jews, the Rambam is like this: that if you're going to say that it had, if you're going to say that it was a decree, that means that it must occur. So then, certain Mitzrim must have been set up that they're going to do this. Otherwise, you can't say it must occur. Do you follow? So the Rambam's kasha was like this. He says, since God said that the Mitzrim are going to enslave the Jews, and this must occur, so therefore you're going to think they have no bechira. Why? Because if it must occur, it has to be preordained. Preordained means that certain individuals must be set up to do a certain thing. Who? What? You can't say, how could God say, generally speaking, this is going to occur? What do you mean? You have to refer to particulars. For something to have to occur, you must make reference to particulars. You understand what I mean? So the Rambam says, the Rambam's kasha was, maybe less kasha. The Torah says that the Egyptians are going to enslave the Jews, so you see that it must occur. Now, once it must occur, it means the cause was set up already, then the Egyptian has his excuse. He says, look, it's not my fault, right? So the Rambam answers, he says, no. He says, it doesn't say which particular mitzri. Does it say this mitzri or that mitzri? No, it doesn't say this mitzri or that mitzri. If it doesn't say particulars, then what does it mean? Then it means that it wasn't preordained that it has to occur. If it was preordained that it has to occur, then it set up. God didn't set up the causes of necessity. Because if God would have set the cause of necessity, he would have had to involve certain particulars in order to achieve the goal. Because whenever you're going to achieve a goal, of necessity means certain particulars have to be set up a certain way, otherwise you can't achieve the goal, right? Now the Rambam's saying is that since God didn't say this mystery or that mystery, so therefore you see that he didn't set up the causality. You understand what I mean? So what was it? So if that's the case, it was just because of God's knowledge, just like he knows whether a person's going to be a tzaddik or a rasha. He knew that certain Egyptians were going to do it, right? You see? So it wasn't gzera. That's what the Rambam says. And that's why the Rambam concludes. He says, and now I explained to you already that a person... Why does he bring in the previous chapter, parakeh? Because the Rambam says, now once I say this, so now you see it wasn't a causality set up by God. Because if it was a causality set up by God, then it would of necessity have to involve what?
Particulars.
That's the way it has to work. You're going to say this is going to occur. How is it going to occur? This is going to cause this, that's going to cause that. It must be only through particulars. So he says, but no, it wasn't through particulars, right? It didn't say this mitzvah or that mitzvah. Now, if it wasn't through particulars, so therefore there was no chain of causality that was set up by God. Now there's no interference with the free will. But the only thing is that God was saying that I know this will occur, right? But then you ask me, how does he know? Once he knows, it's also the question of there must be causality involved. He says that already. I told you in the previous chapter. Thought that the Rambam was saying that because God doesn't say a particular person, that's why, since he didn't say you, so that's why, in other words, arrive at thought that it already has been set up, as the causality set up, but not in particular. So arrive at this, how is that possible? Well, who's supposed to do it? The Ravid understood the Rambam to mean that it is the Gzera, but the Gzera is that from this nation, certain amount of people, X amount of people will do such, right? So he says, well, what is that X? That was the Ravid's kasha. What the Rambam meant to say was that since
God didn't say in particular, so therefore you see it wasn't a causal chain. Now if it wasn't a causal chain, so therefore God didn't set up as it exists, it must occur. Otherwise it would have to involve particulars. So therefore he was just predicting what will occur because he knows the nature of the people. Right? Now he lets me question, but if he knows already, once he knows the nature of the people, so then it must be causality. So that already I told you, that's God's knowledge. It's different than the human knowledge. That's the general. His psukim is, you don't understand, the whole Rambam, we start off at the beginning, the Rambam is trying to show you in this parak that certain psukim in the Torah are not to be misconstrued. That's what the Rambam is doing. Just like he says in the beginning, in the same halacha, he says, Al-ken yarachatayim baderach. So you might think that it means that God causally is involved in determining how the chatayim live, right? He says, and maybe you'll think the pasuk, the same question, the pasuk of Avodah Vino, so maybe you'll think that it's a causal chain that was set up by God. He says, I'll show you it wasn't. How? What's the proof it wasn't? Because there was no particular mitzvah involved. In order, if it was supposed to be that he was supposed to definitely cause this thing to occur, right? That had to be. Then you would of necessity have to involve particulars. But you see, there were no particulars involved. So therefore, it was just a prediction of what's going to occur. Now we're involved in the other question that God has knowledge. Of course, that's the question. Why knowledge, not like God's knowledge? That's the right. Okay. If you're going to have a specific thing occur, there's a historical law that it must occur, etc., then you have to involve yourself in particulars, otherwise it's impossible. The Rambam says, it's not this guy, you understand? Possible point that's often brought up. The question I mentioned, we mentioned the idea of the soul having free will, right? Now people ask the question, they say that if the soul has free will, they say then it's a denial of causality. No. It's a denial of causality. They say because causality maintains that everything has a cause. Right? Yeah. Now over here you're telling me that a human being could choose either way. Well, what's the cause of that? So you're saying there's no cause. So it's a denial of causality. I saw one book on Jewish philosophy that says that now today the scientists deny causality, so therefore there's no problem with free will anymore. But the question is a question. Question. Yeah, it's changed, right? But it's not denial of causality. Causality has lost its vitality. All right. But at any rate, let me ask you a question. How can you say the free will is denied causality? Second question. Besides knowledge itself, that's very practical, very important. That's practical thing with regard to others, too. Sometimes it could be giving a quest something to make it say, as far as Kiddush HaShemayim. It's important to know, besides it for yourself, of course. The question is, goes out, how can you say man has free will if once you say this causality, it means I could choose A or B. There is nothing at all which is determining my choice. And therefore, you're saying that there's no causal agent, which means that basically you're denying causality.
You can make it even stronger.
Right.
In order to have a notion of sabionis,
right,
you have to have the action being caused by the will.
That's right.
And
what caused the will? Right.
Right. The will caused by the person.
Okay. All right. Wow, maintain the determinism. Who's that over there? Is that an Oni? You got to came in for an Oni. You give him to you.
Okay.
Or if you know the person psychologically, if you know his psyche, you know his makeup, you find out what the eventual cause is. A person who walks by a hamburger stand and he says, I think I'll have a hamburger. Nah, I think I want to go by. He walks down the block and he changes his mind and walks back. And they'll say, for every single move he made, there is a cause. You know the personality well enough, you'll understand why. The smell of the hamburger brought his memory, the traces of eating hamburgers, and his mother made it for him, so he wanted it. Then he thought the doctor said he's too fat, so he decided to walk away. And he wasn't having, causal chain of events. So work it out. Yeah. Make a choice. You say that he can go either this way or that way. And there's nothing which determines, whether he chooses A or B, right? So there's no causal agent to determine what he should do. So he's saying there's no causality. What? Yeah, he's very good. He's on the right track. What'd you say? Say a little louder. What was the question? Remember we asked everybody else the question, who created God? Right?
Right.
So what's the answer?
By definition.
The answer is by definition is not the question. Why? Because his nature is to exist. Necessary existence, right? Its nature is to choose. The soul means, when we say the soul is free, we mean there is an existence whose nature it is to choose.
Now, that's not a desire. That's not a denial. Denial of causality means that there's... Denial of causality means that you're saying that there is something exists which has no cause. We aren't saying that something exists. On the contrary, we're saying this soul, whose nature it is to choose, is caused by God. We're not denying it, but we're saying its inherent nature is to choose. Therefore, you can't ask the question, what determines its choice? Because that's its nature. You understand? You can never ask... The only reason you have a question is say, what caused this table? Because its nature isn't to exist. So you ask what caused it, right? But if something... So when you ask what coerced the will to choose, what you're saying is its nature is not to choose. Once its nature is to choose, then you can't ask what coerced the will to choose, because that's its nature. Then you can say, what caused its existence? That's God. Okay, do you understand it? Just think it over. Now, that's denial of causality. Denial of causality. What's wrong with the denial of causality? Because all existences cannot exist unless there's something which caused them, right? You can't say, what caused the table? You're going to deny it. Say, nothing caused the table. Sir, right? But again, remember we said you can't ask why is water wet. You say why is water hot, but not why is water wet. Why is water hot means it doesn't have to be hot. There must be a causative agent to change it, right? From cold to hot. That's by nature. It's cool, right? But you can't ask why is water wet, because that's the nature of the substance. That's why you can't ask what caused God to exist. Because his nature is to exist. You can't ask that question. It's a foolish question. You can't ask why a thing is the way it is. That's its nature. So God's nature, existence, is tied up with his nature. So you can't ask, why does he exist? That's part of his nature to exist. You understand? It's an absurd question. In regard to the soul, if you maintain this free will, so what you're saying is, there is something whose nature it is to choose. Right? Now you can't ask what caused it to choose. That's its nature. You understand what I mean? Just like, it's the same exact reasoning as you have in relationship to necessary existence. That's the basic idea of necessary existence in relationship to God. That's the basic idea. It's the same idea. There's no difference between pointing it here and pointing it there. That's all right. What don't you understand, Gert? How do you go straight to HaKadosh Baruch Hu just like this and say, oh, you're saying that God left, I think Russ says, God left an area in nature that doesn't work with causes. You see? No. There's nothing. What's wrong with not working with causes is because you're saying that something exists without accounting for it. That's what. What is causality? It means you're failing to account for something. It's not that we have to have a belief in causality, or causality is a religion. It means causality means you're not failing to account for something, for the existence of something. So that's why denial of causality is not rational. But if I can account for something, then the question is, how can you say God exists? Where's causality? The answer is because we say that's his nature. Once his nature is not, there's no reason to account for it anymore. That's his nature. The same thing with the relationship to the soul. The question is, how do you account for a soul making a choice? How do you account for that choice? The soul itself, that's how you account for it, because that's its nature. You know, you understand what I mean? It's a little bit abstract, but think about it. That's a sub-question. Its nature, in other words, is to exist. Insofar as God is concerned, right? Insofar as the soul is concerned, its nature is to choose. Okay? The same thing with God, its nature, his nature is to exist, right? It doesn't mean that this is the... You can't say that's the essence of God. Because we know that his nature exists, doesn't mean that it's the essence of God. It means it's tied in with his essence. Let me put it that way. It's tied in with his essence. You understand what I mean? You understand that? The same thing as the other way. Okay, yes. Part of definition. What you choose to write, though, it's part of the definition. Whether that's the entire definition, one of the aspects of the definition, that depends on then going to the definition. You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying it's part of its definition.